from it here with Allie Alberigo, SchoolOwnerTalk.com. Allie, good to be with you again, sir.
Yeah, you as well. I mean, it's a great day, Monday morning. We'll get started and motivate each other. I know you motivate me by being on the call with me, so thanks, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today. It's something that happened to you this weekend, that you had an event, and I've got one coming up actually next weekend. And I wanted to talk about this because I feel that it's important for the listeners to really know their sphere of influence that they have, you know, within their own community that they've created, but, you know, how to actually manage that and, you know, the tiers, if you will, the most important people, you know, that you, because you can't spend your time with everybody. I mean, you look at any figure in history that had a following, be it the Beatles or be it, you know, whoever, you know, Confucius to Buddha to Jesus Christ, you can't spend your time with everyone.
Right.
Even extroverts can't spend their time with everyone. Even though that's how they recharge, they can't be on all the time. So how do you manage that, especially, you know, for us as martial arts school owners? You know, we've talked about this before, but not only are we the teacher, we're the psychologist, we're the parent, we're the, you know, fill in the blank, because that's exactly who we are and who, you know, our students, and we are who our students need us to be at that time. Especially if you are a real versatile, really good, I think a really good martial arts school owner, you know, you are who your student needs you to be at that time. And it could be a doctor, it could be a shoulder to cry on, it could be, like I said, a psychologist or even a parent, because as Dan Kennedy says, you know, everybody's running around with their umbilical cords looking to plug it in somewhere. And so, you know, that's who we are. So before we get on the topic, did you want to kind of set the stage with anything before we keep going?
Well, I think that, you know, what you just said, that's pretty much setting the stage. And then we could just chat about what it is that you, you know, maybe break it down what you're talking about. But I do agree, you know, it's interesting is that I always talk about this when I'm doing, well, it's perfect. This is a segue, because whenever I'm doing a teleseminar on events, I have one that I sold called the Red Carpet Premiere, which is on my Next Level website, takingittothenextlevel.com. And I think I charged like $19, or actually I should say we sold it together. And it went over crazy good, right? People loved it. And it was really all about tapping in to your 80-20% of the people that will do everything that you do. I mean, I talk about it there, going like, even if we did something weird like competition basket weaving, you know, full contact badminton, something ridiculous, the 20% of our students would just sign right up for it. They do everything and anything that we do. We don't have to convince them. The flyer could be written in Chinese. They would sign up for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but then there are the other group of people that don't. And you know, I agree with you that we should focus on those people. However, the one thing that we should never forget, and this is what I call being complacent in business for martial arts school owners, especially where they go, I did a parents' night out, and I had 30 people. And I'm going, wow, that's pretty good. They're happy. They made money. The room was filled, and everyone was happy, school owners especially. And then I say to them, okay, potentially how many people could you have in that marketplace? So if their ages are 5 to 15 and they have 150 students and in that age group and only 30 showed up, there you go. There's that 20% about, you know, roughly.
Right.
So I always say, how do we tap in to the people who aren't going? And we should talk a little bit about that as well. But let's have you continue on topic about focusing on the people who are engaged, right? The ones that are into what you're doing. What do you do?
Yeah, I take a look at it like if you can picture it or imagine it, and I wish I could draw it for everybody, you know, as we speak, but just imagine that you have a bullseye in front of you. And, you know, we all know where the red dot is. It's right in the center. And that one that is right in the center, that circle that is there, represents your closest people to your school, meaning your head instructor, your program director, all the other supporting roles, all the other instructors or assistant instructors. They all fit into that circle. Now, that's not to say that you know, if your company becomes larger, that, you know, you don't create another circle inside, meaning if you are running multiple schools, you might only have, you know, that the actual bullseye is just the managers of each school. So the head instructors or the program directors of each school. But let's just talk about a one person school, you know, one location. So that circle has, like I said, your program director, your head instructor, and you may be one of those. You may be the head instructor, you may be the program director. But it has all of your supporting staff, meaning your, you know, paid instructors and that are inside of that circle. And those are the people, at least what I've learned, is that those are the people that you spend the most time with. Those are the people that you spend the most money on. Those are the people that you spend, all of your energy, or the majority of your energy with, so that you can grow them into, you know, being better than you, just like you, whatever. But those are the individuals that you have to spend the most time with. So if you look at the example of, you know, like I said before, to kind of start us all off, anybody in history, even Jesus only had 12 disciples, right? I mean, and there were actually three that he spent the most time with. He spent more time with those three than he did, you know, with the other ones, and so, or with the other nine. Not that he didn't spend time with the nine. So, you know, you as yourself can only spend so much time, energy, and money on the people that are around you, and the ones that are closest to you inside of your business are the most important. Now, it's not to say that everybody isn't important, but that sphere of influence that you have, you know, you only have a limited amount of time to be able to do it with those people. Now, you draw the next circle that's around. Now we got to get into some definitions here, because I call them my storm team. Those are the special team of role models. Those are the individuals that, you know, come in and assist in classes. They do other classes that I do teach once a month. I teach once a month to my storm team members, you know, how to teach, what to teach, how to overcome these challenges, that type of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I only spend a half an hour once a month with them, and then my core individuals are spending the rest of the time with them out on the mat, teaching them principles and concepts on the fly when they happen, because sometimes you have to learn those things in class when you're doing it, that type of thing. Some people call them leadership members. You know, I have a leadership program, and that's different than my storm team program. So as you're listening to this, right now we have a small circle that is your paid staff. The next circle on the outside are your either leadership or storm team members that are unpaid, but they're learning how to become a paid staff member. I'm kind of generically, you know, filling this out. The next circle for me is my leadership team members. These are the ones that are the upgrade. So maybe you don't call them leadership in your school. Maybe you call them Black Belt Club or Master's Club or whatever. But for us, that's what our upgrade program is. And those are the people that I spend, you know, other time with. So, you know, we have quarterly seminars for leadership members that, you know, that we can spend time with. And so you can see how I spread myself out a little bit, but I'm not directly involved with all of them.
Right.
The next circle are your base, you know, your regular program students. Normally those are the beginners or the ones that didn't upgrade. You know, and those are the ones that you spend, you know, even less time with. As the owner, usually, unless you are the head instructor or the program director, you know, you're not going to be in direct, spending a lot of time with them usually. And then the next circle that you draw is that for me, those are my leads. And again, we've established this on another call before. A lead to me is somebody that's actually come in and done a class. They're on a trial. And then the next circle are the prospects. Those are the ones that have raised their hand for something. They called us, they emailed us, they opted in some way, somehow, or walked in. Those are the ones that I spend, you know, the least amount of time with and least amount of money on. And then the last circle, and actually this isn't even a circle because it's on the outside now, is all everybody else, the suspects, the, you know, everyday people that are outside. And so for us as school owners, it's important for us to understand where, you know, we think sometimes, well, I've got to spend all that time or I've got to spend all that energy with the new student. And that's true to a certain degree, depending on where you're at inside of your business. Meaning, you know, if you only have 10 students, 50 students, maybe even 100 students, but at some point you have to now turn over the reins and have somebody else doing that in order for you to be able to work, you know, on your business rather than in your business, like Michael Gerber says in the E-Myth. And you can't be everything to everyone all the time. Do you have anything to say before we keep on going with this? Because I think this is hopefully a revelation for school owners.
And now, first, the question what you just asking if I have anything to say would lead the listeners to believe that you don't know me at all, right?
Well, I feel like I'm dominating the conversation, you know, as if it's one way, and I don't mean to do that.
I'm if people could see me, I'm in here in my office shaking my head and nodding in agreement with you on everything that you're saying. But there are some things I do have to add, and you and I had done this a call on this even before we were partnered up, and you had another project, and you interviewed me, and I talked about segregation of lists, and I talked about how we don't spend enough time on thing, and I did a seminar in this in Vegas once called Uncovering Gold Under Your Tatami Mats or Your Mats. There's gold under them, those tatami mats or mats. So in summary, for the people who are listening, there's so many areas that we have to focus, but what I want to point out to the listeners and what you said is there we are defining the different areas, and most of the time businesses in general, any business, they do not define, but the really good ones do define their clientele. In other words, if you dealt with a Bugatti motorcycle, I my dentist told me about, you know, I didn't realize how much money dentists made until I found out that he went on a 2-month, you know, hiatus with his entire family to Italy and rented out a house in Tuscany, and he's a Bugatti guy. He has 6 Bugatti motorcycles, which they're like $20,000-$30,000 a piece. But he went to the Bugatti factory, and they knew him. He just showed up on a whim, and he said his name, and they knew who he was because, you know, they don't make thousands and thousands of motorcycles like Kawasaki or Harley or whatever, very specialized. So just a company like Ferrari. Ferrari has, you know, they might sell a $300,000 car and sell 300 of them, you know, for the year, versus, you know, like Ford, which does, you know, 30,000 in production, but they'll make more money because they're reaching out at that clientele that is can afford whatever group. So in other words, to the listeners now, we're segregating our lists, and we're saying, okay, there are different models. And going back to my parents' night out, we could be satisfied with an event that brings us 30 people, let's say. I mean, we could make, let's say we charge $30, that's $900 in 2 or 3 hours. And most school owners would go, wow, success, check the box and move on. They may question, how could I have gotten more people in there? And then they would say to themselves, hey, maybe I just needed to promote it more, make a bigger flyer, talk a little bit louder, metaphorically, you know, speak louder to hear a bigger audience. However, what they do forget is that there's a certain segment, which you had said, 20% or 10% of the population that will do everything that we do. The other 90% or 80%, depending on how good you are, they're laying stagnant or they're standing idly in the corner, just listening but not engaging. So as a business owner, we need to start thinking, how do we tap into that pocket, that how do we dig that hole where we know there's gold only a few inches below? But we're frozen in the decision to be satisfied with what's going on in our face, the people who are buying, and we're never really looking at the people who aren't, or we don't look at them as often. And you had said this, that's why there are populations of prospects, there are storm team, there are different levels, and if we follow your lead, we'll learn how to market and deal with those people and work with them, and it'll change the face, the dynamics of our business. In fact, one last thing to add, this is how I coach. When I do one-on-one coaching, I will take a school, and I always use this example to throw people off, and I say, hey, I have a guy I coached, and he's still with me, actually, three years he's been with me. When the first year, he had about 195 students. 3 years later, he's got about 125 students, and then I look at the people. I used to do this all the time at conventions. And they were about ready to turn and walk away from me going, that's not that impressive, really. That's not what I want to hear. And then I go, oh, but wait, did I tell you this? He was billing about $4,000 a month, and now he's billing about $19,000 a month, and he's only added on like maybe 30 students. and they go, now they're listening, and they're going, how did you do that? Because it's, you know, multiplying it by, you know, quadrupling it, you know, or more. So now they want to hear how I did it, and exactly the way you had said, segregating lists, focusing on the groups, making sure I know who to pay attention to, who to really give a la carte membership to, who to try to slide into that a la carte thing, and so on. So what do you think?
You're exactly right. And, you know, there's a couple of ways that we can go and talk about this. And from a business aspect, like you're talking about, is one way. And it's not wrong. It's right. Another aspect is the philosophical way and reasonings why you do this. And they both intersect. And here's kind of what I mean. You know, you just had this past weekend, you had your, and I'm doing it this weekend, but, you know, you had your staff over, you know, from both locations. You had your, leadership, I believe. You don't call them storm, you call them leadership. Yeah.
Black belt club. I mean, black belt members, all black belts, leadership team and instructor training program, and also our demo team.
And so what was nice about that is they got to spend some time with you. It was a smaller venue, although, I mean, you were saying that you had about 70 people over, something like that. So, and for the listeners, Allie and I knew that this was going on this past weekend, and we actually chatted a little bit before we hit record on the call so that, you know, I asked them about it. I'm like, hey, I got mine this weekend. And, so let's talk about it. So, you know, I have one this weekend. Just for my staff, and they're bringing their family. So it's not just, you know, like if I have a kid that is senior in high school or whatever. Right, they can bring their family. I mean, heck,
yeah, a lot of the kids left their family at home because they were embarrassed, but a good majority of them came because I invited the family as well because I know them. So if you do this, I usually say, invite your family. You don't have to sit with them, but I like your family, so I want them there. And that basically ties it in a little bit better because the family appreciates it. If the kid's just being dropped off, they don't get what we're doing. So sometimes all the time I encourage that the families come along.
Yeah, absolutely. And from the standpoint of, you know, just deepening the relationships that you have with those individuals, that was beautiful. From a business standpoint, the reason that, you know, Allie's talking about that we segregate these things is because then what you do is if you segregate your business, if you create these little circle rings, right, you put rings around these groups of people, and then what you do is then you decide, okay, now how do I get the brand new people, the people that have not been upgraded, how do I communicate them? How do I talk with them? How do I, you know, what do I have to do in order to get those people or some of those people to move into the upgrade level? And then from that, okay, what do I got to do with those people and, or, you know, to get some of them to move into the next level? So for me, it would be, you know, my basic program into leadership, and then from leadership into storm, and then from storm to actually becoming a paid instructor. And then, you know, and then that all has to be crafted, and you have to be strategic about it and know, you know, what your levels are. And a lot of us do, right? I mean, I can remember when I first started, I had a curriculum. You know, I knew what I wanted my black belts to be or what I wanted them to know by the time they tested for black belt. But I didn't have a strategic way or plan to get them there. You know, now I do. Now I have not only a curriculum, but I also have lesson plans. So everything is scripted so that I can move them forward in their actual physical martial arts lessons in order to make them be where I need them or want them to be by the time they become a black belt. Well, we have to do that in our the other parts of our business as well. So you have to be strategic and have a plan from what am I going to do and how am I going to do it? What kind of culture am I going to create and excitement and everything in order to get that basic person to want to be in leadership. In fact, not only just want to be in leadership, but want to be in leadership before they're ever even invited into leadership or even have that opportunity. And so how do you create that and craft that? And then from there, the same thing in the storm, for you guys, it's called leadership, you know, the teaching roles. And so you have to sit back and actually think about how that's going to happen. It's funny because this is just an aside note, but I'll have individuals sometimes that want to, not very often, but I'll have them want to go and check out, you know, another school before they'll make a commitment.
Right.
And I say, that's great. You know, I love parents that want to be educated, that really want to make sure that this is the best school for them. And I want them to make sure of that. And so I always give them my report that I created on how to choose the right martial arts school for your child. But inside of that, I ask them, or I educate them, that they should ask these other schools if they have, you know, these five different things. And one of them happens to be if they have a defined curriculum / lesson plans all the way up to black belt. And if
right.
so, then you need to ask to see it.
Right.
Because, and then what I do is I say, hold on just a second. This is what I'm talking about. And then I go into my classroom and I'll grab the lesson plan book and I'll come back and I'll say, this is what you need to be looking for. And I'll go through and I'll say, see, this is the lesson that your child is doing right now. They've got
right.
this going on. And by the end of today, they should know this. And then here's what we're going to do next class. And so when you're looking for a school, you need to make sure, because if you ask any martial arts schools, you're going to say, well, do you have a curriculum? They're going to say, yeah, I do. Well, curriculum doesn't necessarily mean a lesson plan. And so I really want to educate them. And I bring all that to light because it's not enough to say, oh, I have an upgrade program, or I have a storm team, or I have a leadership team. That's not enough. What you have to have is you have to have a path,
right.
a defined path on how to and how you are going to get that beginner into that next program and then and so on.
Let me have you monitor it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, hold on to that thought, if you could, 1 second. So I want to just make sure everyone hears it from what you're saying from a different perspective, too. So, again, to the listeners, I mean, Dwayne basically is saying, and this could lead into any program you have, any upgrades you have, any marketing you do, Facebook posts, website, it all has to be congruent and have a reason, right? So isn't that what you're saying, Dwayne, too? Like, there has to be a reason behind it. It's not like rolling the dice and hoping that the numbers come up that you want. You're not gambling with your business. And again, going back to our terminology on our products that we have, which is being a strategic owner versus an opportunistic thinker, hoping for the best and rolling the dice, or saying, this is what I'm going to do to create a mindset, to create reaction, to be able to find people and have them go through and follow the path, have all the arrows pointed in the right direction. Knowing it's funny because at my party this weekend, I have two fences, one on the left side of my house, one on the right side. The left side's a big gate and I don't want that being opened. It's tough to close. So I put a sign on it. It says entrance and it points an arrow to the right. Please use small gate. And you would not believe how many people kept trying and coming through the big gate. So I had to go back in. I wanted to be like, what's wrong with you people? I had to go back in and change the sign. And it had to say, do not open this gate. Go in on the right. Like, and I had to take the arrow and get rid of it because people would thought the arrow was pointed. It was a weird thing. People just didn't see it. So you got to be clear. And what we fail as business owners is being clear. We're not clear where we want them to go. Sometimes students don't go where we want them to because we're not clear with the message. Sometimes we don't. Like, I asked my daughter, she went to a party at another martial arts school who's a friend of mine. I said, how'd you like the school? And she said, it was nice. I said, was it clean? She said, yeah. I said, what's the message in that school? When you walked in, what did they tell you? She said, to be honest, I don't know. It was a karate school. And I said, but was it like our school? Did it have a message like higher level training, ninjutsu? What was the brand? She said, it didn't have a brand. It had no message. It had no brand. It was just a karate school. So that's a problem, isn't it? So anyway, go back, continue. I just wanted people to hear that and know that there are themes and reasons to do these things, and we have to lead people by the hand sometimes, right?
Well, it goes back to, we had this conversation before. It goes back to, you know, what's your favorite color? Well, I say blue and you say blue. And but we're still not speaking the same language, because really mine's navy blue and yours is sky blue, or vice versa. And so we really did not communicate that correctly, you know. And you never ask anybody what's your favorite color specifically. I mean, but it has to be all the messages have to be crafted in such a way that you actually get down to the essence or to the bottom line of what needs to be said or what needs to be done, so everything is clear. And I mean, that's like even in my phone script. That's why we always ask in our phone script, you know, so you know where we're located. And they say yes, and then I say, okay, so you know that we're located behind Homestar Bank off of North Street in Bradley. And they're
right.
Like, oh, you guys aren't the school on Broadway?
Right.
No, not us.
And yeah. You know what? Who knows? If you don't say that, how many people might be going down the road?
Well, yeah, and I can't tell you how many people I probably sent down the road just by saying they said, yes, I know where you're at.
Right.
And see, my problem is, and I don't really consider it a problem, but some schools do, I am not off the beaten path. You can go to my school, you got to turn, and actually, I'm in an industrial park. And
well,
you
are off the beaten path. You're definitely tucked away, you know, behind, and some, you know, you're in an industrial area where you're not going to be looking for a karate school in there. So
right.
I've been to your school, gorgeous, but it's definitely, same with me, it's not there for everyone to see.
Yeah, and that's why they always bring up this other school, because it's right on one of the main roads, you know, in our town. And so, and that's okay, that's fine, I'm not knocking that, but what I'm saying is that we have to make sure that we are totally clear with what we are communicating, and that we're all on the same page and everybody's understanding us. And so, you know, feeding back the question or feeding back the answer to the individual is a good idea, especially when it comes to, you know, when they say, yes, I know where you're located. And then you bring that back. And that's, if you don't need to have that in your script for your phone, make sure that you put that in, by the way, maybe at a side note. But you only, as a school owner, you only have a limited amount of time, a limited amount of money, and a limited amount of your own personal resources to be able to spend time with people and to make an impact. And so I guess what boils down to, and what we're talking about here today, is it's important for you, your core influence, or the most time and money spent, should be on those three or four or five or six, whatever your team is. You need to spend time with them. In fact, you know, we have staff meetings, you know, once a week, and I spend in the summertime, we don't do the staff meetings, but throughout the rest of the year, the other 9 months, I have the staff meetings. And so we spend about 2 hours on every Friday as a staff, going over everything, making sure everybody is, you know, where they're supposed to be and doing the things and, you know, what have you, you know, overcoming whatever challenges they had during and throughout the week. But I spend about two hours just with those individuals. Now, I spend also, though, more time with my head instructor and my program director. And so we'll have, I'm sure you have, but I don't know if the listeners have ever read the book called the One-Minute Manager, but, you know, just set it next to your toilet and you'll finish it in a few sittings. But what I learned from that book is it's important to have one-minute meetings, you know, having these one-minute powwows and finding out what's going on. And if there's a problem, boom, you solve it and you move on to the next thing. But I do that. I have one-minute meetings, and sometimes they last 5 minutes, but I have, you know, one-minute meetings with my program director and or my head instructor, and I spend more time and energy and money on those two people than anybody else in the company.
Right.
And then they have a trickle effect, you know, of what's going on. And I still, I have a meeting with a parent this coming Friday, because she wrote me a letter, and I'm not going to get into, you know, all that right now, but I had told my program director that, you know, I wanted her to make this meeting and ask her, if she would be willing to meet with me,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to saying, you know, as opposed to coming to her and saying, you know, Mr. Brummett wants to meet with you,
right,
this Friday, and
right.
And she's like, well, because she said, well, I'll just ask her to meet with you this Friday, and I said, well, what I want you to do is I want you to ask her if she would be willing to meet with me, and I want you to word it that way,
Right.
And she's like, well, why? And I said, because there's a difference. When you say, you know, Mr. Berman wants to meet with you on Friday, that's a directive. And based upon the letter that I got, that is not going to, that's not going to do me any good.
Right. Right, right.
I need to be a little more diplomatic and make her feel as if she has the power in this situation because of the letter that she wrote. And so that's why I wanted her to word it that way. But that's why I spend time with her, because, I mean, she wouldn't have known that, I don't think, had I not revealed that to her, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we as school owners need to realize that we have only a limited amount of time, only a limited amount of space to be able to influence people. Start making your bullseye, and then you start spending, the, you know, your most time, effort, and money on those individuals, and then start working out.
Okay.
I don't really have anything left to say with regards to that, except that it's that it actually sets up your business in so many different ways. You know, not just relationship wise, although that's probably the most important, because we do have a relationship business.
Right.
It's a personality driven business.
And, yeah.
You know, you don't have, you yourself, you don't have to be there all the time, but your personality does. And the only way that that's going to happen is if you spend your time with your core people, making sure that they understand what your mission is, what the mission of the school is, and how they all fit into that, so that, that it just drips into everybody else.
And you know what? And I'll close it up. Is that your final comments?
I think so.
Okay. I'll close it up for the listeners, and talking last about my last event, which was this meeting and pool party at my house. Everyone was so appreciative. They sent me Facebook messages, thank you. I think I became a little bit more human to them. They got to see where I lived, and I'm very nervous about that. And we could have a whole nother conversation, because I've had some bad experiences with people judging me, you know, about the cars I drive and the home that I live in and all the things that I have, and they're jealous, and they didn't appreciate that, and that's a whole nother conversation. But so anyway, I broke down and I let everyone in, and the people that were there were just so, you know, thank you for the party. It was so generous, and we had such a blast. And you know, for me, I didn't have any stress. I was kind of not sleeping the day before, because I had a lot of people coming, and I thought maybe I'd be judged by people based on what I've accomplished. And anyway, everyone was awesome. They were really good, caring, loving. I really enjoyed having them there. So someone said, we should make this a regular thing. And I said, why don't we make it biannual? You know, I'd rather do two of them. I really enjoyed it so much. Like maybe early summer, late fall, before the pools closed up, and have different core groups, you know. And for me, it's about, we talk about martial arts as our family, and we sometimes don't actually treat it that way, while other schools are so cult-like that it becomes almost, you know, overpowering. But anyway, long story short, I loved it. I had a great time. I think we should think about that. And just to recap what Dwayne had said too, themes. What you're doing, what you're trying to accomplish has to be evident. Sometimes I say that our martial art business and our quality of who we are is like a secret identity to most people. They don't know unless we tell them. So I do this thing called I have to think of the exact name, but it's almost like look what I could do. Or, you know, look what I am, or look who we are, you know, and talk about yourself a little, because sometimes we think people know, and they don't. So anyway, long story short, great call, Dwayne. It was awesome. I appreciate being on the line with you. And for the listeners, I hope you got something cool out of it. And we're going to be letting you guys in on some really cool stuff real soon that we've been working on for almost a year and a half. That is going to literally change the face of the industry, and we're so happy to give it away. It's free, keep your ears out listening for it.
Yeah, and I just want to add, you know, please share this podcast. If you're not subscribed, you can subscribe on iTunes. If you have an Android device, you can subscribe there as well. There's information at schoolandertalk.com and how to be able to do all of that. The nice thing about, you know, like the Apple products is if you subscribe, obviously you get that little mark on your iPhone that you have a new podcast that's ready for you to listen to. But yeah, share this information with the other martial arts school owners, because like Ali has said in past episodes, is that this is exactly what we want. Our goal is to be able to help other martial arts school owners, you know, move from spinning all the plates, from, you know, making peanuts, to be able to actually make a living with it and do very well if they want to, but at least make a modest living,
right,
at teaching the martial arts. Because when they're happier, as you as an instructor, if you're a school owner, you're happier. You obviously are going to be able to teach better too. Oh, as an aside note, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but did you see this in the news about 3 months ago about the guy that owned the credit card company? And
no.
He made the decision. Okay, he himself was earning $1.5 million a year. And
okay.
He made the decision. He read something from some Ivy League school or something about a study that was done that people are the happiest when they're making at least $70,000 a year. So what he decided to do was he decided all his employees, and I don't remember how many there were. Everybody could look it up on the internet, but you know, let's just say he had 25 employees or whatever. He decided to bring all of them up to $70,000, and he took away, you know, he took that from his salary, and so
right.
Everybody was making more. Well, now his business is bad. he has to rent out his house in order to make payments on it. So like he has somebody living there or something, I don't know. But it was on the news this week, and I was just like, and when I first saw it, you know, that 3 months ago, I thought, oh, this is going to be a problem. This is going to really be a problem. And, you know, the problem was, I think, is the fact that you take somebody that, and this is a whole nother call, but you take somebody that is earning $30,000 a year, and
right.
You bump them, you know, $40,000 up, they're not used to living like that. They don't
right.
know, they're not, it's like the individuals that win the lottery and then all of a sudden they're worse off in the end than they were in the beginning. And a lot of them have said that, I wish I wouldn't have won it.
Yeah.
And it's because they're not ready yet to earn that type of money.
Right.
And so understand that you as a school owner, and we're all at this level, everybody is at different levels, but until you're ready to move to that next level, even if you get those, you break the 100 mark and now you're at 120 people, if you yourself are not ready for that, you'll dip back down again and sometimes even worse. And I don't know what struck me about that. I don't know what you just said, but I wanted to say that it's important for us to grow as human beings, as individuals, first in order to make our schools successful. Sorry, you didn't have the last word and I stole it. I apologize.
You got it. I don't mind it. That's fine. That was a great statement. And there's a great show called Ballers, which is about the football team with The Rock on HBO on Sundays. And the NFL is mad at him and the production because it talks about the vast amount of money that these players make, same concept, and they don't know what to do with it. So they get in all sorts of trouble. They go bankrupt. They buy cars. They share it with their friends. And it's an interesting dynamic. So same exact thing as what you just said. But awesome, dude. A great call, as always. Thanks so much for sharing. And we will next call.
All right, everyone share this.
Yeah, go ahead, Dwayne. Finish it up.
No, I was just gonna say, everyone share this with other schools so everybody benefits. Thanks, Alex.
Okay, take care, bud.